Well, good morning. Great to see you. Let's all stand together. Begin our celebration this morning. How can I keep from singing? Sing out. 1, 2, 3, 4. Savior.
Amen.
Oh, come on.
Amen.
Oh, y'all haven't had the week that I've had. We have a loving, wonderful Savior.
Amen.
Amen. There you go. There you go. Hey, I know. I know. I'm not trying to, milk you or anything like that. I know how it is. You come, we sing, we get into that. Let me just tell you, get out of that. Okay? Get out of that. Get out of yourself. And let the Lord know how you really feel. Okay? Well, we want to welcome you here to Cornerstones. Great to see everybody. It's summertime and everything's going, crazy. I just want to say one. I wasn't going to say anything, but I am. I am, because I want you to know how special, you know, our band people, the choir and instrumentalists, vocalists and everything, we just appreciate everything they do. But this morning, I think a little special recognition is in order here. This morning, James Jenkins, he texted me. He said, "Hey, I'm supposed to play for Daryl today on the drums. I'm not feeling real good, and I don't think I need to be around a bunch of people." And I said, "Okay, I understand. Just get better, you know." And so I thought, now who can I get to play drums? And the first thought I have is, you know what? Elijah McCowan plays drums. So. And so it was kind of funny, you know. So I was calling Katie, going, "Hey, here's the deal. You know, I don't know if Elijah can. I don't even know if you are in town or not. But whatever, you know, if he can come, that'd be great." Well, she texts back, "Yeah, he'll come. He'll come." So I just appreciate Elijah doing this, y'all. He's doing a great job. Good deal. If this is your first time at Cornerstone, we want you to know how we are so glad that you have chosen to spend time with us in worship. And I want to encourage you to take there's a card in front of you in the seat that it's in front of you, the little pocket. There's a card, it's a guest card. We're not going to hound you. We want to hear from you. If you have a prayer need, something that we can help you with, we'd love to hear from you. We want you to feel right at home at Cornerstone. Other than that, great to see you. Let's all have a word of prayer, and then let's keep worshiping and just open up your heart. I'm going to ask Luke McCowan, if you would, please lead us in prayer.
Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come to your house, God.
Amen.
To lift up song and praise and to give ear to your word. Father, we our one request this morning is that it be a pleasing offer, a sweet fragrance to you, God, as it comes up. Father, that you would accept this offering of praise and worship. Lord, and that it put a smile on your face. God, and that our attentive ear to your word, Father, would show that we're committed to fully submitting to what you tell us. God, to deny our own truth to receive your absolute truth. Lord, and so that we might walk in the light and the freedom that comes with a saving knowledge of who Jesus is. God, so we pray, Lord, that you would have your way in this sanctuary today, in this house today. God, that your word would be preached faithfully and received, God, by all of us who would go out this week and desire to live it out in our community. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I will follow. I will follow. 1, 2, 3, 4. Sing. All your ways are good, all your ways are pure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. sweet, sweet Spirit. There's a sweet, sweet Spirit in this place.
And I know that it's the presence of
We have one more song that we're going to do as a congregation before Brother David comes and presents the message this morning. We're going to sing King of My Heart. I love the fact that this song brings out, it's sung over and over again, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, and I got to tell you something, folks. We couldn't say that enough. We couldn't say it enough about our Lord. He is good. He is good. He never leaves or forsakes us at all. He's right there no matter what. Let's sing together. This is just a time of intimate worship. The King of My Heart. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
The King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song. You are good.
Thank you, Neil, and choir and orchestra and band members. Good to be back here with you today. We're going to continue our study through the parables over the next few weeks. And so today we're going to answer the question, how does God answer prayer? And it's also called PUSH, P-U-S-H, a parable of persistent prayer. So open your Bibles, please, or your device, to Luke 18, the first eight verses. My wife and I are so glad to be back. We spent our 50th anniversary trip with our kids visiting Yellowstone National Park and Grand Tetons, just beautiful. We had a wonderful time. Just part of the world we've never seen before. It just reinforces how much God is artistic and see His beautiful creation. Also glad to have Steve and Dina Brand here with us today. They're from Green Acres. I think he's the reason I'm here, so you can blame him, okay? Or give him credit, whatever, one or the other. But he, a great friend, supported me when I was pastor. Now he's a great friend and supporter. They both are of Pastor Michael, who's there right now. So there was a time, kids, when there weren't these big box chain pharmacies. In little towns, pharmacy was owned by somebody, and he didn't just stay behind the pharmacy counter. He went out and helped people in the store. And so there's a certain town where a kid showed up at a pharmacy and said to the pharmacist, I want to buy 3 boxes of candy, a small box, a medium-sized box, and a big box. The pharmacist said, sure, but why are you doing that? He said, well, my girl from college lives here in this town, and I'm going to have supper at her house tonight. And after supper, you know, we're going to go out on a date. And if she lets me hold her hand only, I'll just give her the small box of candy. If she lets me, like, kiss her on the cheek, I'll give her the medium box of chocolate. But if she really lets me get into some serious smooching, that's what the big box of candy is for. So pharmacist sold the kid the candy. He showed up for dinner that night and sat down at the table, and the kid said, hey, can I say the prayer before the meal? And they said, sure. So this guy starts praying the prayingest prayer you've ever heard. I mean, he's just calling down glory from heaven, just prayed on and on and on. And finally he said, amen. And his girlfriend said, I never knew you were so religious. And he said, I never knew your dad was the pharmacist. There's all different reasons to pray, that's for sure. So at the beginning, I'll just tell you that PUSH stands for pray until something happens. Now, let me ask you a question and you can respond, but think about it carefully before you do. How many of you are totally satisfied with your personal prayer life? Raise your hand. Totally satisfied. Well, if anybody raised their hand, I was going to say you can leave because you don't need this message. But if you're like me and most everybody else with me, we're always trying to improve our personal prayer life. And that's what this message is about. So it involves everybody who ever prays, pray until something happens. And you know, the disciples of Jesus spent 3 years with him, but they never said, Lord, teach us how to teach or teach us how to do miracles. The one thing they asked was, Lord, teach us how to pray, because there was something about the way Jesus prayed that they just wanted to emulate. And that ought to be our desire this morning. Lord, teach me to pray. And so Jesus is going to give a parable here about prayer. Luke 18, verse 1, you're welcome to stand with me as we honor God through the reading of His Word. Then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Now, like I've been teaching you, this is the lesson, now the illustration. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? That's the key, day and night. Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will see that they get justice and quickly. And then Jesus is always slipping in these little questions. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Now, if you hadn't read that Jesus said this is a parable about prayer, you probably wouldn't even think this was about prayer, because it's about a dishonest, unjust judge. And it's about a widow who had some issue that she needed settled, and she kept coming back to him incessantly over and over and over again. Now, don't think of Judge Judy when you think about the judge, because in Bible times, judges were appointed by the Romans, and they oftentimes bought these judgeships. So they were, first of all, committed, faithful to the Roman occupation, which so they were already hated. And then they also made a living by getting bribes from the people over whose cases they adjudicated. And this woman didn't have enough money to even bribe the judge, so she did something even better. She kept persistently coming back and back and back. And so what we're going to find here is about three ways that Jesus taught that we can pray effectively. Here's number one. Don't worry, pray continually. Now, this woman did not just sit at home and, you know, wring her fingers and bite her fingernails and, you know, just worrying about what can I do, what can I do. She did something about it. She went to see the judge over and over again. Now, we don't know what the problem was. Probably she was a widow. She was probably trying to claim some of the estate of her husband. And, you know, back in Bible times, women had zero legal rights. You remember the story of Ruth, about Ruth and Naomi? How many of you have read the story of Ruth? Yeah, that's great. If you haven't, you're ruthless. You need to fix that. You need to read that story. Ruth and Naomi returned from Moab, and they couldn't even claim their dead husband's land until a kinsman redeemer, Boaz, came and saved the day. You know, you can either worry about your problems or you can pray about your problems. And what do you do the most? Only you can answer that question. Here's the thing about worry. Worry just begins with a drip, drip, drip of doubt. And if you don't stop it there, it's like water. It's going to do what it wants to do. It becomes a torrent of tension until eventually it becomes a grand canyon of anxiety. Now, our English word worry comes from the German word wurgen, which literally means to strangle. And I happen to believe, having observed this as a pastor for over almost 50 years, that the number one most committed sin by Christians is not lying, it's not gossip, it is the sin of worry. There's an educator from California, William Arthur Ward, and there's two things that you should never worry about. Don't worry about things you can't do anything about. Don't worry about them because there's nothing you can do. It's like the weather, right? You can't worry about it because there's nothing you can do about the weather except get out of its way. And then there's things you can do something about. Don't worry about them. Do something about it. My mentor and friend, the late Adrian Rogers, used to say, "For every evil under the sun, either there is a cure or there is none. If there be one, seek till you find it. If there be none, never mind it." Here's what this educator William Ward said. Worry is faith in the negative, trust in the unpleasant, assurance of disaster, and belief in defeat. Worry is a magnet that attracts negative circumstances. Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. And some of you are probably thinking right now, "Well, Pastor, if you knew what my troubles were, you wouldn't be telling me not to worry." Well, I don't know. But God does know, and it is God who's telling you not to worry. Now, you know, there are all kinds of Hall of Fames in the world, and I wonder if there would ever be like a non-worriers Hall of Fame. Who would be named to the Non-Worriers Hall of Fame? Well, do you remember Mad Magazine years ago? Alfred E. Newman, he would always say, "What, me worry?" He would probably be in it. Also, The Lion King, Timon and Timba, Hakuna Matata. It means no worries for the rest of your days. It's your problem-free philosophy, Hakuna Matata. They would be in the Non-Worriers Hall of Fame. And certainly, Bobby McFerrin, who sang that song that just became a worm in your brain over again. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. But I want to introduce to you the founder of the Non-Warriors Hall of Fame, and that would be the Lord Jesus. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will wear, isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing?" He said, "Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they?" Said the robin to the sparrow, "I'd really like to know why these anxious human creatures rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "I guess that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." If God takes care of the birds, he's going to take care of you. Now, I heard a story about a guy named Bob. He was just your chronic worry wart. He worried about everything. He not only worried about his problems, he worried about everybody else's problems. I mean, he would come into work and his shoulders would be stooped, a frown on his face. Just everything was bad. He worried about everything. One day he showed up for work and he had a spring in his step, no worry lines on his face. And, you know, they could tell it was different. They said, "Bob, what's wrong? You're not worried today." He said, "Well, no." He said, "This past weekend I did a brilliant thing." They said, "What?" He said, "I hired a guy to worry for me. I pay him and he worries so I don't have to worry." They said, "That's a great idea, Bob. How much do you pay him?" He said, "I pay him $60,000 a year." They said, "Bob, the only problem with that is you don't make $60,000. How are you going to pay him?" He said, "That's not my worry, that's his." Wouldn't it be great to have somebody to worry for you? Well, we really do, because the Bible says that we can cast all our cares, our anxiety, our worries upon him, for he cares for you. So don't worry, pray continually. Number two, don't quit, pray persistently. That's the whole point of this parable. This widow kept coming back over and over and over again. And the word that's in the original language means this judge said, I'm going to answer her request, because it's like she's constantly sticking me in the eye with a sharp stick. There's great value in persistent praying. Did you notice there Jesus said, won't God bring justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him? It says day and night. So your problem is you may pray about something, but then you stop praying about it. You give up on praying. I mean, maybe you pray about it once or twice or three times, but then you just quit. And this point is, don't quit. Pray persistently. In fact, this is how the psalmist describes it. "But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. I complain and groan, how often? Morning, noon, and night, and he hears my voice. Though many are against me, he will redeem me from my battle unharmed." And just like the choir sang, the battle is already won. He's already won the battle. Jack Taylor used to say, we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory, the victory of the cross. But the psalmist says, I'm crying out day and night, morning, noon, and evening. There's a wonderful character in the Old Testament by the name of Hannah. And for much of her marriage, Hannah was barren. And her husband had another wife who just kept popping out children every year and just really making fun of Hannah, just aggravating her. So you're barren. You know, look at all the children I've given to our husband. And so every year, Hannah would go when they went to Shiloh to pray, and Eli would see her praying, and she would almost make herself crazy. She prayed so much. In fact, once he said, "Are you drunk?" And she said, "No, I'm just praying so hard that I'm visibly shaking. Lord, give me a child. Give me a child. Lord, give me a child." And finally, God answered the prayer and gave her a child named Samuel, who became the father of the prophets. And the name means God has heard. So let's use Hannah as a great example of how never to stop praying. Oh, by the way, folks, persistence is just a great quality to have. There's great power in persistence. Have you ever heard of Johann Brahms? He wrote the lullaby that everybody's familiar with. It took him 7 years to complete. You know why? He kept falling asleep at the piano. But he didn't give up. He kept on keeping on, kept on keeping on. And then even today, there's hundreds of ice cream stores named after him. There's power in persistence. So I think a lot of you are a member of a club that never meets and never charges dues. It's called the Quitters Club. You know what the Quitters Club is? It's the club for people who, when they face a tough marriage, they give up. Tough job, they give up. Tough situation, they give up. They just say, I quit. I am done. Well, as you know by now, I'm just a huge sports fan. And probably one of my favorite NFL players of all time was Emmitt Smith. He set a record that'll never be broken, all-time leading rusher in the NFL. And I remember I was watching the Sunday when he broke the record. They stopped the game, gave him the game ball, and interviewed him, and he said, I give all the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what did he accomplish? He got 18,355 rushing yards. If you stretch that out, that's like 10 and a half miles. Now, some of you guys are runners, joggers. You say, well, 10 miles, that's nothing. I run 10 miles a week. Yeah, but you don't have 300-pound monsters trying to take your head off while you're running. He broke the record in 2002. Walter Payton held it before that. And look, Emmitt has over 2,000 more yards. And this will never be broken. The current NFL player with the most yardage is Derrick Henry, and he'll never break that record because, you know, today, by the only thing they do for run in the NFL is to set up the pass these days. So that record is going to stay. But here's another record that he holds that you don't know about. He was tackled more than any person in NFL history. He was tackled 4,409 times. And you know what he did after every time he got tackled? He got back up. Unless he was injured a few times and were taken off the field for a little while, but he got back up. And that's what you need to do when you get knocked down, and you will get knocked down. You need to get up and get back in the game. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount when he uses these words. He said, ask, and the word, the verb tense is keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, and it'll be given unto you. So what about you? When you pray, do you just ask? I ask once. You seek, I sought. I knocked one time. He didn't answer. The whole point of this is keep on. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Jesus said in Matthew 7:9, he said this, who among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, I love these next four words, how much more? There's so many how much more's in the Bible. How much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him and keep on asking? So is there something in your life right now that you've been praying about for a long time and maybe you just quit praying about it? Keep on praying. Push. Pray until something happens. And here's the third key to effective praying. Don't doubt. Pray positively. Don't doubt. Pray positively. In other words, you've got to believe when you ask God that he is going to answer your prayer. This widow honestly believed that somehow this judge, this unjust judge, was going to grant her plea. That's why she kept on going back and back and back. And when you pray, are you expecting God to answer your prayer? I heard about a children's Sunday school class. And they were going to write to some missionaries. And the teacher told them, now, boys and girls, we're going to write to these missionaries, but they are so busy that they're not going to be able to write you back. So one little kid wrote, Dear Brother Jones, thank you for being a missionary. I am praying for you. I am not expecting an answer. Does that sound like one of your prayers? You know, most of the parables, they're parables of comparison. Like a couple of weeks, we're going to look at what you often call the prodigal son, the loving father. I call it the parable of the loving father. But this is a parable about praying in faith, believing. And the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 6, let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Do you doubt when you pray? Or do you pray in faith? As I was saying, this is a parable of contrast, not comparison. Jesus is nothing like this unjust judge. Our Heavenly Father wants to answer your prayer. Now, I've discovered through the years that there are four basic ways God can answer your prayer. There may be more, but these are the four main ones, I believe. So let's look at them quickly as we end. Four ways He answers prayer. First of all, God may answer your prayer quickly. Quickly. And He does that sometimes. In Matthew 14, Jesus is walking on the water. And Peter said, "I want to walk to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come on." He threw his leg over the boat, starts walking toward Jesus. But you remember what happened? He took his eyes off Jesus and started looking at the wind and the waves, and he started sinking. And in Matthew 14, he prays one of the shortest, most sincere prayers in the Bible. He said, "Lord, save me." Just three words. And Jesus immediately reached out and took his hand and delivered him back to the boat. That was a quick answer to prayer. And by the way, I think that every prayer of salvation, God answers quickly. I mean, He doesn't save you progressively. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved in that instant. It's not progressive. It's an instantaneous change. You are born again. You pass from death unto life. Sometimes God answers prayer quickly, and we don't even know it's Him that is answering the prayer. I heard about a lady who was driving through a crowded shopping center parking lot, and it was just packed. She was looking for a parking place. Up one aisle, down the other, please God, help me get a good parking place. Please God, I need a parking space. And just as she's going to the end of one row closest to the buildings, this car is backing out. And she says, never mind, Lord, I found it myself. You don't need to help me. And He had answered the prayer. She didn't give Him the credit. So sometimes God will answer your prayer quickly. Sometimes God will answer your prayer later. In John 11, Jesus was off with His disciples, and Mary and Martha send word to Jesus. "Jesus, our brother, your friend Lazarus, is sick. Please come right now and heal him." And Jesus deliberately delayed. He said, "Let's just wait around for a while." And finally, they get word that he died. And he said, "Okay, we can go." And Jesus knew that God would get more glory from raising Lazarus from the dead than from raising him from a sick bed. And in fact, you know, Martha and Mary, they were upset. Martha went out to meet him and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." But then Jesus raised him from the dead. You got to remember, folks, with God, His timing is impeccable. Remember that. We're more interested in time, and God is more interested in timing. And His timing is impeccable. Sometimes God will answer a prayer better. Sometimes He'll answer quickly. Sometimes He'll answer later. Sometimes He answers better. You remember Paul? He had something called a thorn in the flesh, and we don't know what it was, but it was bothering him. He called it a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to beat me up. He said, "I prayed once. I prayed twice. I prayed three times. God, take it away, take it away, take it away." But God gave him something better, because God said, "No, I'm not going to take it away. I'm going to give you the grace to sustain you in the midst of it." And sometimes God will answer your prayer better than what you ask for. He does that. He loves to do that. You know, the great theologian Garth Brooks had a song about that. You know, in this song he talks about how he had a high school girlfriend. And he prayed when he was in high school, "I want to marry this girl." And then later, you know, he marries somebody else and comes back and he sees her. And this is the chorus of the song. He says, "Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs," he's more than a man upstairs, by the way, "and just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care, because some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayer." Now, that's good music with bad theology. There's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. God answered his prayer better than the prayer he prayed in high school. And that happens a lot. You remember Billy Graham. His wife, Ruth Bell Graham, said that if God had answered her prayers, she would have married seven men before she even met Billy Graham. So thank God that he answers prayers better. And sometimes He just answers prayer, no. That's the answer. It may not be the answer you want. He just says no. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before the cross, and he says, Father, I have a request. Take this cup away from me. The bitter cup of suffering, the physical suffering of the cross. The bitter cup of isolation, being left and forsaken by all of his disciples. Take it away, Father. But the bitter cup of taking all the sins of all the sinners and all of history laid upon him. He became sin for us. Father, take this cup away from me. He prayed it three times. But he always said, not my will, but yours be done. And it was not the will of the Father for Jesus to miss the cross. In other words, God said no to that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane so that Jesus could go to the cross, so that people here in East Texas can repent of our sins and receive Jesus into our heart and be made children of God. Thank God he said no to that prayer. Now, I want you to just use this as a little memory tool. Every time you see a door that says push on it, I want you to be reminded, pray till something happens. Don't stop praying. Now, I preached this sermon a few years ago at Green Acres. I'm sure Steve remembers it. And we had a guest reception after every service where people come back and talk to me or have me pray with them or whatever. I'm happy to do that. But after this particular sermon and this particular thing I just said right here, this woman rushes up to me. She wasn't a member of our church. She was a guest. And she was so distraught. She was so worried. And I thought she had a problem with something I had said. And she said, I have a question about your sermon. I said, yes, ma'am, what is it? She said, what if the door says pull? I'm not kidding you. And that's what I did. I thought, now I realized she was not joking. She was serious as a heart attack. So I quickly recovered and said, well, if it says P-U-L-L, just pray until love leaves. And she was satisfied. That was enough. She wrote it down and walked off. So whether it says push or whether it says pull, keep on praying till God does something. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great lesson on prayer that you've given us. And I ask if there's someone here that has stopped praying about something important in their life or their family, that this will be motivation and encouragement, that they should keep on keeping on. Don't stop praying. Lord, thank you that you're a God who loves to answer our prayers. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing a song of invitation here. Some staff volunteers will be down front. And if you're here and you'd like to talk to someone about what it means to be a Christian or what it means to join this church, or just you need special prayer about something, you're invited to come to the front and register your decision. Let's stand together right now as we sing.
Sing. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. Follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back, the world behind me, the cross.
Brother David, thank you for that message this morning. Just want to remind everybody, there's a lot of stuff going on. Tomorrow we start Rock the Block. We have preteen camp sign-up still going on back at the Connection Center. Branson, you wanted to make an announcement? And Sherry, come up.
I've got two. I'm going to make just a Rock the Block announcement, and then I'm going to kick it over to Miss Sherry, and then we'll come back and I'll finish this up. But why don't y'all be seated? Yeah. Tomorrow with Rock the Block, as we start that, Cindy has asked me to remind all of the workers, if you can be here at 8:30 in the morning, report to whomever it is that's in charge of your group or your station or whatever. All of the youth, come find me. Come find me. Also, a reminder to wear your nice, fashionable, soft purple shirt if you have that. If you signed up for a shirt, they're here. They're wrapped up in the foyer. They have your name on it. So be sure and pick one of those up before you leave today. If you signed up for a shirt and it's not out there, we have, or you didn't sign up, we have some extras. So if you still need a shirt, just go to that back table, or if you need to know what group you're assigned to. But we need to show up at 8:30 in the morning for the 3 days of Rock the Block. Now I'm going to pass it to Sherry, and then we'll come back.
Speaker, so this is out of my comfort zone, but God always has a sense of humor, and so that's why I'm up here. Number one, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. When I came to this church, we didn't have a pastor. Check, check, check. It's on. But I fell in love with the people. I fell in love with the music. Y'all were very welcoming and loving and kind-hearted. Daryl came in. He started playing music here. Y'all loved on us. Daryl got very sick. And, you know, we talk about prayer. We prayed all the time for him to heal. Well, Daryl said something one time. He said, be careful what you pray for. He will heal me, whether on this side or that side. I will be healed. And so our prayer changed, and as you know, God took him home. But that was his ultimate goal. Closer? Okay. This church prayed every single day for me, for Daryl, for Dalton. And anytime I struggled and I felt like I was down in a deep, deep valley, and I was there a long time, I could call Amy, say, Amy, I just need you to pray. She prayed. Then I'd have people call and text me, hey, we're praying for you. We know you need prayer. And that is Cornerstone. Cornerstone is a loving family. It's a family that prays for each other. So, fast forward. I took a year to figure out who I was and went to God and I said, you know, I think I'm ready to date, but I have stipulations because God needs my help. Cornerstone, you know, this person's going to have to be involved in church, but he's going to have to come to Cornerstone. So the person I met is an associate pastor at another church who's also a youth minister and a music minister. So with that being said, when I get married on the 22nd of June, I will also be leaving Cornerstone because it will be my job to support my husband in his role as an associate pastor, music director, and youth minister. I always said I'm not going to work with the youth. They're just too old for me. Well, there's God's humor. I put in stipulations, and he set me straight. So what I say is thank you to each and every one of y'all for the continued prayers and the love and the kindness that you've shown. This is hard for me to leave Cornerstone. It is. It's one of the hardest things I'll be doing. But no, I'll still be living in Jacksonville because I'm not leaving Jacksonville. So I will see y'all around, and there's going to be times I may come to visit. And if Arlie is out and I have enough notice and Neil calls me, I might be able to come in and fill in a little bit. But I just want y'all to know how much I love each and every one of y'all, how much you mean to me, and just ask that you continue to pray for me because this is definitely out of my comfort zone, and including speaking up here, which I'll have to do a lot when I do leave. And so just thank y'all and just keep praying for me.
All right. This is Zala, Zalatil, it's his real name. Antonio, and Zala wanted to share just a brief word with you.
As most of y'all know, my sister passed away last Thursday. She passed away. There's no word to say how thankful I am for Cornerstone. How many people texted me, called me, and asked how we were doing, if there's anything they could do to help us, like if we needed anything for our family and stuff. And I just want to say thank y'all, guys. I really do appreciate every single prayer that y'all said for us. I actually felt it. Like, honestly, I feel comfortable, peace, and calmed. I felt God, like the battle that we're fighting has already been won. And I know that she's in a better place for sure. and that bring me peace. And as I spoke at my sister's funeral yesterday, God's in control, and I'd rather have her there than have her here suffering how she was suffering when she was here. And I just want to say thank you to each one of y'all guys, and I love y'all.
Many of you have come to me, you've come to some of the deacons and some different folks, and you've asked if there is anything that the Antonio family needs. You've asked if you could help. You've asked if there's a financial need or anything like that. And so we felt like the best thing for us to do, because of so many people that have asked and just not sure the vehicle to do that, would be for me to just come up here and to say, those of you that are willing, there is a need. There is, and it's a specific number need. And what we wanted to do was just to open that up to you if you do feel led to give to on behalf of Zala's sister. She leaves three kiddos, a 10, a 7, and an 8, I believe. They all go to Joe Wright, and she leaves them behind. And so if you do feel led by the Lord to give, Farrell right now is in the back of the church, and he's got a basket that if you'd like to give something, it will go straight to the Antonio family. And we were also going to have the basket there next week as well. And if you'd like to this week, if it's put on your heart to give something, you could drop it off at the church office as well. And we just wanted to make that available to everyone, because so many of you have asked about that. So I'm going to close us in prayer right now, and then we're going to go have a great day. Father, thank you so much for this time. God, thank you for your word, and thank you for the truth that's in it. Thank you for the way it will transform our lives. God, thank you that you've called us to be a house of prayer. God, thank you for the words that we heard this morning. Thank you that we do have hope. We do have confidence to pray until something happens. Father, you are a loving, loving Father. And for some of us, we don't know what that means because we haven't had that. But God, we can trust you. We can know that you are good and that you will meet our needs. God, I lift up all of those who have those needs that aren't maybe willing to bring those out and to tell another person. But Father, I pray that you would prick their heart to find someone that they can pray with, that they would get whatever it is on the inside, that they would bring it out into the light and let you deal with it. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you so much for this fellowship of believers that gather on South Bolton. God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.